ready.
From the logo, he launches.
Aim.
Good if it goes.
Good!
Bullseye.
She'll take it and she'll make it.
This is Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
Wants to drive in. That's a big shot. Fail and one.
On today's show, you'll hear from men's basketball head coach Amir Abdur-Rahim.
All right, listen to me now.
One of the Bulls players. And we'll check in with a member of one of the other sports teams at South Florida. Now, your Bullseye hosts, Derek Sharp, Kaylee Cottrell, and Joey Johnston.
Back inside to wrap up the basketball season as it is completed as of two Sundays ago with the men's basketball team taking it to the second round of the NIT. Derek Sharp, Kaylee Cottrell, and Joey Johnston, not just the NIT, but we'll wrap it all up with Amir Abdur-Rahim. These two are going to sit down with Jaden Reed, who was fantastic as a freshman. Later on, we'll speak to some members, speaking of fantastic of track and field. And in our final segment, we'll sort of catch up on everything else that's going on in USF Athletics. We're going to keep it to basketball here, and we'll talk a little bit about some drama with the women's basketball coach. At least it was a short-lived drama, and we get to still have Jose Fernandez around. But Joey, again, we start with you because you've been around for all the games. You get to go on the road with the team, and I know, and you'll, I'm sure, hear the coach say the same thing. They had plans for the bigger tournament, but I thought it was still a darn good year and a pretty darn good two-game experience in the NIT.
Oh, yeah, and the whole thing was, I think, one of the more fun things I've ever done, more memorable for sure. I'll remember it until next year's NCAA run. Yeah. But it was a great joy, and to, just to see how the team grew, to get to know all the new players and to see how they gelled at the right time, it was fabulous. And then, and then, of course, the fans selling out games and the energy in the building was unmatched. So the whole thing was about as memorable as you could get.
And I would argue, I mean, I know if FAU and UAB both made the tournament, UAB beating the Bulls in the conference tournament semis and then taking down Temple, which had upset FAU. But again, you would prefer to go to the first, but they both had really heartbreaking losses, including in overtime. And we got to experience the opposite of a heartbreaking loss in Orlando. The memories were rekindled of the good old war in I-4, right?
Yeah, no, it was great. And it's always like, it's hey, what if you get all the way to the NIT? Is that better than losing in the first round of the NCAA? Well, again, you don't go into the NCAA planning to lose in the first round. So, but if you aren't selected for the NCAA and you get some NIT memories, that's about as good a consolation as you could get. And of course, it was a win at UCF, which was incredibly satisfying for the fan base. Great road performance.
They've rolled into the Evil Empire and beaten the UCF Knights.
The Bulls have just set a record, 25 victories, the most in program history.
And then one more home game, a bonus home game against VCU, didn't go the way we wanted. But another great atmosphere and just a lot of great hope for next year.
And that atmosphere is something that I know you got to take in, Kaylee Cottrell, along with a lot of fans. Felt like a sellout there.
Yeah, I talked to MK about it. I talked to one of the SoFlo rodeo leaders, talked to a donor, talked to MBS, who's in attendance courtside. And man, all the hype around it, they were all so excited. And just to see this team, yes, grow together, but also grow this campus and this community and the impact that they've had, been super cool all season to see.
You mentioned Michael. I do a weekly radio podcast with him, and I wanted to bring it up to him, but it actually beat me to it as far as talking about the basketball knowledge of the crowd and how he was so impressed with that part of things.
40 seconds in, and the Bulls will attack against the man-to-man. Youngblood to Pryor. Listen to this place.
We mentioned it. Jose Fernandez might have got courted by another school. But he is staying strong a Bull, and I know, Joey, you probably had the same thought process through the whole thing, like, okay, it's bound to happen. Thank goodness it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Jose Fernandez at USF women's basketball is a natural fit and hard to imagine otherwise, 24 years now. And I know, you know, before he rides off into the sunset, he wants to do some damage in the NCAA tournament. There's unfinished business, and we're glad that he's going to be able to be here to finish that business. And I know he's rejuvenated and ready to go for next year. So, you know, we had a brief little flirtation there maybe, but, you know, Jose at USF is where it needs to be. We've got a great men's Final Four on tap, and the women are in Cleveland. And let's not forget, the women are in Tampa next
That's
year
right.
for the women's Final Four. So this is a warm-up act in the game. The women's game has never been more healthy. So what we're going to get in Tampa is going to be at the absolute apex of the sport. in terms of ratings and interest and sellout crowds and whatnot. So it'll be a great time for that event to be in Tampa.
I know Rob Higgins, who's the leader of the Tampa Bay Sports Commission, and his whole crew is headed to Cleveland. And yeah, that's a good reminder that we are a year away from that. And from what I understand, Jose's got a roster putting together a threat to make it there. I know they played a bunch of teams that made the Elite Eight, the NC State team that's in the Final Four as well.
I will say, if Jose has a roster that can get to the Women's Final Four in Tampa, that will be my most memorable thing I've ever
yes.
seen in my life. So let's do it, Jose.
Let's all do it all next year. Here on this hour or so, we're going to sit down one last time with the head coach. We'll also speak with Jaden Reed, and I'll be joined by a couple members of the outdoor men's track and field team. So don't go anywhere. We are just underway on Bullseye.
Kicks it out to Reed. He's going to load up a three from straight on. JR around the rim and in. It took a lap around, then hit the backboard and rolled in. The Bulls cut it in half. It's 58-55, and here comes the building.
Here comes the crowd.
Man to man out of VCU. They get it to Chris Youngblood. Squares to the basket. Ball fake. He puts it on the floor. Goes around Bairstow to the lane. Oh. To the lane. Chris Youngblood has taken this game upon his shoulders.
CY and the YC crowd louder than ever.
You found the all-new South Florida Coaches Show on the radio. Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
Well, for the last time, we're going to talk to Amir Abdur-Rahim this season anyway. But I got to say, Coach, tell me if you disagree. It seems like, in a very positive way, I say this, that the men's basketball season felt like it was the longest season, because to me, it entailed, the beginning of it entailed your beginning and your showing up and just the sort of buzz that was starting to build. And then the season itself seemed like it was so long, because we're looking at the very beginning of the year when so many things were different. And it was a good long season to me.
No, it was a great season. You know, I enjoy, like, I'm a big fan of music. And the song I've been listening to over the last year is by the artist Her, called The Journey, right? And, the journey is the gift, you know, like the season is the gift, you know, like winning a championship, you know, sharing the moments we share with not only our fans, but with the guys. Like, it was fun, man. But when you think back on where we started, you know, South Carolina State was a ton of fun. But then you go to Central Michigan, and now everybody's like, oh, this dude can't coach, he can't do this. But, like, for me, that's the fun part, you know, because now it's like, how do you get your team to respond? How do you keep them together? Can you get them to believe? And just in that moment from, you know, Central Michigan, but on to the main game, you know, the Hofstra-UMass, you know, I was really proud of our staff, and I was proud of myself, you know, to be honest, to be able to keep that group together, trusting each other, and then eventually that trust turned into belief in each other. And when you can believe in each other, man, whew, you can have some fun.
I know you get receipts, and when you mentioned Central Michigan and Maine, I almost forgotten. Again, it's been so long. I probably am on social media too much, but a couple things were to the effect of the Bulls have no talent.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Oh, I got them. And I just chose to remain humble and not call people out. You know, and it's, you know, I think it's like so funny. I just tweeted something out the other day, and I didn't do it for attention or anything like that. But I just think, man, like, I know as fans, right, like, you want to see the team do well. But, like, to be a fan, man, you got to be in it for the ups and the downs. Don't be fair weather, you know, and because I just think about NC State, man. It's crazy. 3 weeks ago, you know, people were calling for Kevin Keats's job. This dude's got his team in the Final Four. That's real coaching. Like, he a real ball coach, right? That's real coaching. You know, when you go through, you lose the last three or four, whatever they lost of the season, and now they're on a, what, eight or nine game run. You can't beat it. That's the same thing with us, you know. I know losing at home to Maine and Central Michigan, and then going up on that East Coast road trip to Hofstra and UMass, it wasn't fun to be part of or watch, maybe. But honestly, if we never go through those moments, does it make winning a championship like that much sweeter? Like, being able to see a team grow, even at, like, for a coach, for sure. But I you know, I'm a fan of sports as well, and I grew up a Braves fan, right? And to watch the Braves grow over the years, you know, even when they were winning their 14 pennants, you know, and then the breakthrough and win the championship a few years ago, like as a fan, it's the fun thing to watch.
Coach, when you're going through it, you're in the weeds, you're consumed with the next game. Now that you're removed from it, what stands out to you about the whole thing? What have you reflected on the last week or so that you could only do now that you had the time to do it?
Well, I've slept a lot. just being honest, I've slept a lot.
I don't blame you.
But what I've reflected on more than anything was each individual guy. And the guy I just keep coming back to, man, is Corey Walker Jr.
Wow.
Man, I never forget when I got the job. And I don't say this to embarrass Corey, but, like, man, I remember asking him, like, hey, what are you working out at all? Are you lifting? Like, what are you doing? Because, like, just from a conditioning standpoint, he was so far out of shape. And to watch him from June 1st when they got here, when the team got here for summer workouts to the last game, and it was unfortunate we didn't get to have him in that last game. We missed him against UAB because Corey, from a physicality standpoint, I think he could have gave those guys enough resistance that allowed us to get down and really help in the post. And so not having him, like, he goes from being a guy that we weren't sure we could count on, you know, every day, to a guy that, man, we missed him. You know, just to see his growth and the confidence that grew in him, that's what coaching is about, like, just to see those guys grow.
And I want to ask one more thing about Corey, because we've been around him for a couple of years, and a mercurial talent, but again, you're not quite sure what you're going to get on a daily basis, but it was amazing for those of us, me for sure, just to watch him smile.
Yeah.
To watch how much fun he was having, and he did mention at the end of the year how much he loved being part of this team.
Right.
So I certainly saw the transformation as well.
No, it was awesome, man. You know, and it's not easy for a guy like Corey. And so to our fans, you know, I want you to understand this. Corey is a former top 75 player in the country. You know, started at another school with, I'm sure, goals and aspirations of doing great things, you know. And sometimes it just doesn't go exactly how you want it to go. But when you see Corey Walker, you give him a hug, pat him on the back, tell him a good job. Because he could have quit, all right? But, you know, his mom and dad obviously are great people because they raised a son who didn't quit. He stayed the course and broke through, you know. And Corey Walker, you know, is going to play a lot more really good basketball here at USF.
Last time we talked to you, it was after net cutting down. So it was headed to Tulsa, I believe, and then obviously the conference tournament. And going into the conference tournament, the day before, I believe, I think, A-10 and maybe another conference, MAC, don't quote me, the 8 beat the 1.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, that can happen.
For sure.
You guys lit it up against East Carolina, and I know UAB is a very talented team. So let's, before we get to the NIT experience, sort of take people back through the end of the regular season conference tournament.
Yeah, no, like I have no issues with how it went. Because, again, I didn't complain or say anything when we were on a 15-game win streak or a 6-game win streak. I didn't complain or I didn't gloat. You know, it happens like that sometimes. And we play in a really, really tough conference,
absolutely,
in my opinion. And so I wasn't surprised with how we played against East Carolina in the least bit, because those guys, they had been on a neutral court before. Against a really good team in Florida State, and they performed. And, you know, man, like, they just went. I thought our ability to share the ball that day was incredible. And just their unselfishness, their willingness to give up good for great was awesome. And then UAB, you know, again, not being full strength that game, you know, and I don't want to take anything away from UAB's performance. They did a great job. They did what I thought a lot of other teams would have done. They just stuck with the 1-3-1, you know, which, you know, I told the guys, man, like, that's a sign of respect. The team feels like they got to do this just in order to play with you, like, because they had played majority man all year, and for 40 minutes they stayed in that 1-3-1, and so really good coaching by them. I got to be better, and I will be, you know, getting them prepared for whatever anybody throws at us. But, man, as I told the guys, you know, after that game, nobody in here is going to hang their head. Nobody in here is going to act out of character. We're going to remain in character because when we were going through good times, it's easy to have, you know, a good attitude. Well, we're going to show everybody what South Florida is about, and we're going to walk with our heads high and be about the right things.
And then that leads into Selection Sunday. You're hopeful your name is called. It isn't sent to the NIT. Not only that, sent on the road.
Yeah.
To play UCF,
yeah.
Which some fans were grinding their teeth over. But and this is another thing I'll remember this team for. You go on the road and you win the game. It was your eighth road win of the year.
Yeah.
You went and just took care of business. And I know you had a mindset. You weren't going to complain. You're just going to run and take care of business. What will you remember about that UCF game and that experience?
Well, I'll start with Selection Sunday. I just think it's interesting how the committee makes the selections, right? We were left out, they said, because of our strength of schedule. What they don't take into account, we inherited a schedule, right? Like, you don't schedule in June and July. Like, teams are working on schedules in December, January. And so we inherited a schedule that the previous staff had put together. So you penalized us for something we didn't have. It was already contracted. Like, you know, my wife's a lawyer, man. Like, you know, and she talks about it all the time. Don't break no contracts. You know, like, you know, let's make sure we save our money. And I'm like, yeah, I hear you, Slim. You know, but again, it's just one of those things where a little disappointed, but now as the leader, how do you respond? Because if I'd have walked in there disappointed,
right,
down, they would have taken that attitude into that road game. I walked in there grateful. I walked in there thankful for the opportunity to coach that group another day, you know, a couple more practices.
No declining the invite either.
No doubt. No. Declining the invite. And again, that we'll get to that another day. Yeah. I'm not gonna knock with, you know, I know they're trying to make it better, but at the same time too, you know, to be able to go on the road, and I had heard about the war on I-4, you know, a few times, but to be a part of it, like, man, it's a real rivalry,
yeah.
You know, and for us to go in there and perform like that, I wasn't surprised, you know, at like in the least bit, but that was a big time environment. It was a big time win, and was just really proud of that group. Eight road wins is a lot.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
All the win categories you guys broke the records for. It's awesome. I know you couldn't really reflect on that during the course of the season. We'll do that before we're done here. First of all, you mentioned great rivalry, and schedules are set in advance,
mm-hmm,
before we get to the last game, which I thought was an awesome, just awesome environment. What can people know about next year's schedule? And
nothing.
Down the road, could UCF be on it?
They can't know anything about next year's schedule because they're not contracted yet.
Okay.
They're not signed.
Everybody
yet.
In trouble.
What's your philosophy about a non-conference schedule?
No.
Year?
Now,
that's the best
like
question,
you know, when you win 25 games and you still don't get an at-large, and they say it's because of your strength of schedule. Now, you know, we've got to go schedule to, you know, not crazy. You know, I don't want to go crazy with it, but we want to make sure that we challenge ourselves, because our goal is to play in the NCAA tournament deep into March, just like we did this year, and, you know, and ultimately, you know, into April. And so we got to challenge ourselves, and we're going to do our best to do that. It'll be interesting, though. Everybody wanted to. I'd never forget getting a job, and everybody's calling like, "Hey, you want to play?" Yeah, we didn't have a roster. Yeah, call us now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Call us now.
Same number.
How hard is it to get games with a team like this that is a threat to anybody?
It's challenging. It's challenging.
And it might not be loaded with home games if the other side wants it their way.
Yeah.
Speaking of being a home, I'm so glad. I know you wanted the NCAA tournament, but I'm so glad that win happened in Orlando, because we got that one last home game. And even though it wasn't the sellout, it felt like one, and it looked like one.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly than that, not just the SoFlo Rodeo and the look and the feel, but the basketball knowledge.
Yeah.
It was how you want it to be. I mean, not needing to see the Jumbotron say, get loud or clap your hands or anything like that. Not harassing the other team like in some of the Blue Blood places. It gets too intense. It was just perfect. They knew when to, when the defense needed to stop, et cetera. I thought it was a great environment.
So just like a team grows, a fan base grows, I remember South Carolina State. You know, I remember, I remember the Charlotte game. It sticks out because it was the first sellout. And I remember at times during that game, like we'd be going on runs and it was almost like we didn't know what, like our crowd, our fans didn't know what to do, right? But to see the growth of our fan base over the course of the year, like you said, like, what people don't realize is that VCU game, as I said to the guys, all right, our goal is the NCAA tournament. Just so you know, that's what a first-round NCAA tournament game feels
like.
That's what it feels like right there, where there's no room for error. You know, there's no room to make a mistake. Like, there's no such thing as perfect, but we got to play as close to perfect as possible, you know, because when you're playing – those, you know, in the NCAA tournament, you're playing one of the best 68 teams in the country in that first round. And your execution has to be on point. Your connection has to be on point. Your unselfishness has to be at an elite level, because the one time you don't make the extra pass to give up good for great, it can cost you, you know, whether it was a turnover or a missed shot. And so, you know, just like the Charlotte game this year prepared us for the FAU game, right? Just like going on the road to Hofstra and UMass prepared us to go on the road to, you know, Temple and North Texas and so on and so forth. The game, the season is always giving you opportunities to grow. And the thing that I'm thankful for is why we didn't turn down decline the NIT invitation is because we were still, if you remember, I said it's about growth and humility. We were still trying to grow, and we were still trying to find the humility to add to that DNA of our program going into next year. This is not, it's not going to be a 1 year thing. Like we're here.
Coach, you're not only looking for games for next year, but you got some spots on your roster. You're looking for some players. You won 25 games. You won a conference title without like a true five man, you know, the traditional five man. So you can do it. But is getting that type of body a priority on your roster? And part two, you mentioned Daniel Topolobo the other day about how he's coming along. Where might he fit into that sort of traditional center mix for next year?
You ever seen a Bill Belichick interview?
I've been a part of a few.
Yeah.
On to Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah. On to Cleveland.
Okay.
You know, because I think, you know, everybody – I think looks at our team and they're like, this is what we need. But guys, we just won 25 games. We just won a championship with what I guess some people would say is a non-traditional lineup. It's about players. It's about the Jimmys and Joes, not the X's and O's for sure, right? But what it's about is getting 15 guys that are going to believe and buy into what the ultimate goal is. I believe this, like, wholeheartedly. I could put Chris Youngblood at the five with four other really good players, and we're going to have a chance every night because I know that dude's buy-in is at a high level.
So is the way you play and the way the game has gone made it less of a thing to have that box, that five guy that we grew up watching?
No, like, I think you got to have different pieces to be able to play different ways. Right, you when you look at the Final Four right now, Purdue, NC State, Alabama, and UConn, the team that's going to win the national championship is the team, because it's four really contrasting styles. You got to be able to adjust. You got to be able to play different ways. Yeah, you got to be who you are at your core, but the best teams are able to adjust. Right, they're chameleons. They're able to adjust and play and adapt to any type of style. And so whether it's Daniel or we address it in recruiting, we want to be able to have a primary focus in the post that we can throw the ball to. You know, when the jump shots aren't falling, when we're not playing as well on the perimeter as we would like. You got to have it because you got to be able to play different ways, win different ways. That's why, again, we miss Corey Walker against UAB, you know, because we could have thrown the ball into Corey Walker and got some of their bigs in foul trouble. We didn't have them. So we, yeah.
But just to clarify, you could use an ED type on your roster. You could find a spot for him.
Yeah. those dudes aren't walking around every day.
Yeah.
They kind of stand out when they do. Yeah. And you mentioned it before, you know, just watching some of the games. And he mentioned also getting some sleep. So, yeah. A, what contact do you have with the players? Do they finally get a little bit of a breather right now? B, tell us about some basketball you've been watching, because it's been pretty good these days.
Yeah, no, the guys have had a break. They didn't get spring break, and they've done such a great job in the classroom that this past week we let them have a long weekend. They had to get their work done, you know, to be dismissed, but they did. So they had from Thursday till Sunday home, and it was just, you know, the fact that they were able to spend Easter with their family, it was awesome. But yeah, basketball, I've watched it all. You know, I'm not one of those guys that, you know, needs to decompress or not watch or hurts. It hurts, to be honest. Like Chris Youngblood actually FaceTimed me the other night, like, "Coach, man," I'm like, "Dude, I hear you," you know, but I watch all of it. I've watched the NIT. I watched the tournament. I watched the women's tournament,
oh, fantastic.
You know, and just to see, you know, how good Coach Staley's teams are, man, and how disciplined, how good they are at executing. It's been fun, you know, to watch Caitlin Clark put on the show she put on. You know, it's like, it's really cool. She's a throwback a little bit. You know, I grew up watching Allen Houston and Steve Smith. Mm-hmm. Not super athletic guys, but both could really shoot it. And they could both get you off balance just enough to get their shots off. And that's her. Like, she has a great handle, and she can get to her shot pocket really quick. And so just to watch her play chess, not checkers, right, during the game, it's really cool. Like, she's a big-time basketball player. Now, I'm not talking about – you hear it. I didn't say a big-time women's – no, she's a big-time basketball player.
And it's got that appeal too. One last thing on the whole tournament that's going on for me. I love the Cinderella stories. I want there to be more teams in the tournament, et cetera. But all along, to me, it's going to be UConn and Purdue, which probably means it's not. But what do you like as far as who's left? And I'm sure you have some friends on the teams as well. Do you have any rooting interest that way?
No, I don't have it. I root for USF.
Love it.
That's who I root for. But I'd be sitting up here lying I look at what NC State's been able to do, and it's phenomenal because as a basketball coach, it gives you energy. It gives you, I wouldn't even say hope. It just, like, when you lead with your heart, you know, when you lead with love for your players, you know, at any point in time that thing can change, you know, and to watch them win the games and not only win them, it's not like they're making buzzer beaters, right? Like, they're executing. They're dominating, you know, in a sense, and they're playing with a connection, with a togetherness that, man, like, when you know that feeling, like, you can see it. When you've had that feeling before, you can see it. And so to watch them, it's been fun. And, yeah, UConn is – they're elite, man. Like, you know, in Purdue, they play in a way that with a guy that – I mean, it's like, how do you defend it? You know, and I thought Tennessee did a dang good job of it. But you think about this, at 7'4", or whatever he is, that dude played 39 minutes and, 27 seconds.
That's amazing.
He only sat down for 33 seconds. Man, that's elite.
It's fun to watch.
One more thing on your team, Coach. You know, you were hired about a year ago, right now, as we sit in April. So, you know, everything you did last year in the summer, the conditioning, for the most part, it was new for all these guys. They were learning you were learning them. A little different this time when you go into the summer. What do you think it'll be like in terms of building your team with, they know you now, you know them, and you maybe know which buttons to push?
He's about to push some buttons.
Hopefully they don't see this and see that smile. It's got to go up, right? We can't stay the same. You know, we've set a standard and an expectation of what we expect and who we are. And in order to not only maintain it but take it to another level, we've got to push them. And they're prepared for it. They're ready for it to be pushed at that level. Because, again, when you want to be a champion and when you are a champion and you know what it takes, you know, now it's about – it's not just about the conditioning sessions, right? It's not like we're going to do something crazier than we did before. Now it's going to be what is their focus going to be during those sessions. Will they treat those conditioning sessions, weight sessions, individual workouts, will they treat it like the game this year? I think they will. Mm-hmm. And now you'll see when they get to practice is way more competitive, way more fun. You know, they won't even realize they've been in there, you know, for an hour or 2 hours or whatever it's been. When you can get lost in it, and that's the next step for us. It's just being able to get lost in the work.
I want to say thank you for all the time you've given us. As I'm thanking you, I'm going to ask you to give us just a couple more minutes because I know people appreciate this. I do. It's cool. What have you shared and what have you learned hanging out with Golish and the spring football practices? And then finally, I've seen you, you know, become a baseball pitcher now. Going back to the Braves, were you more of a Smoltz, Glavin, or Avery guy?
No, I was just a staff guy. That was the best. That's
of course
arguably the best staff ever put
Maddox,
together.
Maddox, I should have mentioned.
Yeah, golly, I was about to say, how you forget Maddox? Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz, Avery. Come on, man. That's a heck of a rotation, you know. But no, you know what I've. It's been fun. I actually this morning I was out at women's golf.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it was phenomenal. Like just being outside and just watching how they prep. You know. The focus you got to have every rep, you know, like I'm going to take, like at some point I'm going to take our guys out there because I want them to see that like that, right? But I've learned a ton from Coach E. I've learned a ton from Erica. But being out at football, man, it's been so fun because different sport, but what I've enjoyed the most is watching Coach Golish and his staff. And it just reminds me to keep doing what we're doing. Because I think our energy as a staff, our team reflects it. Like, man, watching their team this spring. I went out last spring when I first got here. And not that it was bad last spring. You could just tell it was year one. They were going into it. Those guys didn't really know what to expect, kind of going back to
right,
what you were talking
right,
about.
Right.
Now, you go out there, them dudes are, they are chomping at the bit. None at all. And I've been out there on a few different occasions. One day where, like, they had a little bit of, you know, contact, and then I went out there one day when it was a tackle. When it's tackle, whew. But what's been the most fun is just watching Coach allow his players to lead. You know, watching Byron Brown in that quarterback group, Izzy Carter, you know, Arch. Man, they got dudes, man. They got some dudes, you know. So it's – but what I've learned, again, is just stay consistent. Be who you are. But more importantly, what I think Coach has done the best job of is he's been vulnerable enough to get uncomfortable and share, like, his energy. Like, a lot of head coaches, think about it. We want to be – yeah. No, like, he's on – like, his playlist is elite. Man, he had some DMX on that joint. I was out there like, oh, let's go. You know, so I just, you know, I've just learned to, you know, stay in the moment and be you. Be who you are. You don't have to be what everybody thinks a head coach is supposed to look like, you know.
Well, we appreciate all they did, and it sounds like you guys are one of the same, and that's a good thing. That means a lot of wins,
yep. Yeah.
And we want to, again, say thanks for all the memories.
We are grateful for you.
Thank you, and thank you guys for asking great questions all year, man, and really giving our fan base an insight to the team and being around. You know, Joey was on pretty much every trip, man, you know, so, and he was helping with the bags, getting the bags off the plane. He only got his plate.
He got me on the plate.
You
don't have anybody wait on you at dinner.
Yeah.
You carry your own plate. I thought he was gone. I let my guard down, and he
got
come up and
good,
got me behind. I'm still mad about
good
it.
Good job.
I'm still mad about
good
it.
Good job.
Won't happen again.
stop it.
that'll be something we work on for next year. We'll try and get the questions even more elite. Thanks again.
Hey, now remember, when you go out to dinner, you got to let the waiter.
I've changed the way I do
it. They'll kick you out the restaurant. Yeah. Okay.
I still look at the puzzle on the faces of the wait staff. Like, what do you mean we can't pick up your plate? They're generally like, "What are you talking about?
This is our job."
They got it. But I get the lesson, and the lesson is great.
No, it's awesome.
Well, one of the fine young men on his team, Jaden Reed, is going to be our guest next.
Now we're talking to the freshman? Unbelievable. Yeah. Who's this guy?
Yeah. Stick around.
Man, this is an intense game.
Self picks up his dribble, goes to Reed. 6 on the shot clock. Reed looking for a screen. He's going to drive it all the way to the basket. Reverse layup, left hand. Oh, and the freshman rolled it in. He rolled it in to tie it. The Bulls have an opportunity to pull the stunner in the FedEx Forum tonight.
Not just a stunner, one of the greatest wins in the history of the program, Jim. They could come in here on the road and beat the number 10 team in the country. To come back from 20 down in the second half on an ESPN national telecast? My goodness.
Welcome back to Bullseye, Joey Johnston and Kaylee Cottrell, and we are joined by USF freshman point guard Jaden Reed, a big part of the AAC championship team, who had a brilliant first year. Jaden, I know when you come to college and you're a freshman, not only athletically but academically, a lot of challenges, a lot of growth. Mm. What's this year been like for you, a little kid coming from New York to the big city of Tampa? It been like for you on and off the court?
It's been great, for real. I mean, there's a lot of challenges with going from high school to college, a lot of steps you have to make. You have to mature fast, learn to be on your own without your parents. But, I mean, I had a great support system here, but in terms of my coaches, academic advisors, professors, everything. It helped me out a lot. I was able to realize what life is really about, how to have priorities, focus on what needs to be done first, and then have fun later. So I think I made the change pretty well, and then I just got to keep going, getting more mature as I go up.
You talk about maturity. You sure don't play like a freshman. What comes over you when you get on the court?
Just my confidence. I think from all the work I put in over the years, since I was like 6 years old, I've been in the gym just proving myself right, working hard. So the hard work translates onto the court, and my confidence is, I think that's my best ability. One of my best traits is my confidence, not caring what other people think. So just coming onto the court as a freshman, just playing with a lot of confidence, knowing what I can do, and proving everybody else wrong that doubted me.
Jaden, when you look at your background, you're not going to be intimidated or overwhelmed by anything, I think, growing up in the New York area with all the swagger that entails, but also where you played high school ball. I mean, the competition level was tremendous. Where you came from and the kind of players you went up against to prepare you to come to USF.
Yeah, playing basketball in New York, I think it builds you for, even outside of basketball, it builds toughness, mental toughness, like that confidence you're saying, like knowing what you can do. Because in New York, a lot of people are going to talk bad about you, or you're going to be compared to a lot of people. But just knowing your self-worth, knowing your own worth, I think that helped me a lot. And Lehigh, my high school, national team, we were ranked 2nd in the country last year, playing all the top schools. I think that helped me a lot, because I was able, since freshman year, I went there as well, playing at that level, practicing every day. One of my best friends, Jaden Ross, he was on my team. He's actually on UConn right now. I think they're probably going to win the national championship. Playing against guys like him, VJ Edgecombe, he's going to Baylor next year. He's in the McDonald's All-American game. So practicing against guys like that, playing with high-level talent, and learning from Coach Buck. He went to Wake Forest, played with Chris Paul, learning from him. They told me everything I need to know, preparing me for college. Our practices were college-like. The games were college-like atmosphere. So, I mean, coming here was just the next step for me. I was already prepared for it. This is what I expected, and I was good.
You've had a lot of high points and a lot of highlights. Yeah. What's been the toughest part? What's been the days where it's,
Before?
Yeah, here at USF. Have you had days where you doubted yourself?
Yeah.
And how'd you adjust? How'd you come back from it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say doubt, but there were some days where it's like, you get there and it's just like, dang, like, it's different. You know, coming from high school, you're the senior, you're the oldest guy, you're the big man on campus. Everybody knows who you are. Now, coming here, you're a freshman, you got to earn your stripes. Nobody knows what you could do yet. You got to prove to everybody, like I said, you got to prove to everybody. But like early on in the season, you know, there was some, in the summer, I was good. The workouts were good. I was getting better, feeling like I'm hitting some traction. Then the beginning of the season, you know, those college practices are a little bit different than high school. So you're like, dang, like, this is real. But, you know, with the help, like I said, my support system here, coaches talking through it, my older teammates, our captains, Jose, CY and them, like, they just kept talking me through it, telling me what I need to do, telling me what I need to work on. And then the more you listen, the more you're going to get better, just apply what they're telling you. So, I mean, early on in the season, I would say I didn't have doubts of myself, like, can I play here or not? It was just like, dang, this is tough. Like, I got to get with the program type thing. But I fought through it, and then we had a good season.
No matter what you had to fight through, you always did it with a smile on your face. You're one of the most positive guys on the team. Where does that positivity come from?
I think just overall in my life, I learned a lot of lessons. A lot of stuff happened in my life. I lost my best friend when I was a sophomore in high school. So going through stuff like that, it realizes how precious life is and, like, not taking things for granted. So that's something my mom and my goddad, my dad, my grandparents, they all instilled in me, just being thankful, being present in the moment. So, like, every time I go out there, step on the court, whether I have a bad game or a good game, I mean, obviously I'm going to be frustrated I have a bad game. We all want to perform well, but at the end of the day, it's a blessing. I'm at University of South Florida. I'm in Tampa, Florida, 90-degree weather in freaking December. So it's like, it's nothing really to be mad about. I'm just grateful for the opportunity. I told Coach Amir all the time, like, I'm just thankful, like, for the opportunity, thankful for this platform. I'm just happy to be able to do what I love, playing basketball, go to school, get a good education, and meet nice people along the way.
Jaden, you have discovered what millions of people from the Northeast have learned for decades.
Yeah.
It's fun to live here.
Exactly.
And I want to live here, and
exactly.
I don't want to leave.
I mean, after coming here, I don't think I want to ever go back and live in New York, unless my parents are there, but I got to be somewhere warm for sure.
So, Jaden, you mentioned, you know, the ups and downs of being a freshman, and Coach Amir coaches you hard.
Yeah.
He's on you. He does not let you slack. And I know some days are difficult, and he gets in your ear, and he pulls you aside one-to-one.
Yeah.
What's the relationship been like? And I know some days maybe he's not your favorite guy, but he's got your best interest in mind.
Sure.
So what's that whole thing been like?
Nah, Coach Amir, that's my guy for sure. He took a chance on me when nobody else really wanted to at the end of my high school career after I decommitted. He was one coach that reached out a lot and showed that love for me. So when I came here, I trusted him. He told me everything that he was going to do with me, like his plans. And he kept his word, you know what I'm saying? That's my guy. He's tough. It's tough love, though. I mean, in practice, in the moment, you're like, dang, like, he's on me. Like, I just did something good, and he's still yelling. It's never enough. But, like, he just wants you to be, like, better than I can even imagine myself, like, pushing me to my limits. Like, he always tells me he doesn't think I know how good I can be. Like, he sees it, but he doesn't think I see it in myself yet. So just listening to him, you know, it's paid off, as you guys have seen this season. You know, as a freshman, a lot of people don't play freshmen, especially at a high level. So he gave me that opportunity. So I felt that trust from him early. And, you know, just listening to him, like I said, trusting him, him giving me the confidence every day in practice, throwing me in the games. Even when I mess up, I have a turnover, I'm still in the game. So, like, a lot of coaches are not doing that, like I said. So, yeah, Coach Amir is my guy. And it's bigger than basketball, Coach Amir, too. He's just not a basketball coach. I think he's a life coach for me. You know, he teaches me a lot of lessons outside the basketball court, how to be a man, like, how to be a father figure. Like, when I get to that stage, he always tells us how to be a good husband to his wife and his family. So it's just a lot of outside lessons that he teaches us that are not just basketball, which I think is more important than basketball, because at some point, basketball is going to stop, and you're going to need those valuable lessons.
Not only your coach, but also your teammates.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about your relationship with maybe some of the older guys as well, because this team, you know, a group of strangers, a group of transfers, this new staff, new team, you guys look like you've been playing together forever. How was that able to happen?
Yeah, in the summer when we came, it was funny. A lot of people, we were all new, like you said. A lot of people, we didn't really talk, or it was just like, we just kind of figuring out everybody, but Coach Amir told us, like, be intentional about your relationships. It's going to go a long way. So, you know, my roommates, CY, Case and Jennings, they're both older seniors, and they've helped me out a lot. I ride with CY to the gym almost every day, him and KJ. We're just talking about, like, not only basketball, but, like, just life, how we're doing and stuff like that. And I think that was also a big part in why I did pretty good this year, because I knew I had seniors that had my back, seniors that had been through it before. So they paved the way for me. They know what it's like. So them telling me what I have to do helped a lot. I worked out with Jose. He was a six-year senior, so he'd been through it. He knows what it takes, what the work looks like. I worked out with him every day. Shelton Miguel. He's probably one of my closest guys on the team that I hang out with a lot. And, you know, he always tell me, me and Sel connect a lot because we have the same mentality, I think. We think a lot alike. So Sel just, whenever I'm practice, I would get down on myself. He like, keep your head up, like, next play, things like that. So I just had a bunch of like, seniors that cared. You know, places seniors don't care about freshmen. They just want to do their own thing and get to the next level. But the seniors here, they care for me. They told me what I need to do.
Jaden, I'm going to let you in on a little secret about Kaylee. She's not going to brag on herself, mm-hmm. but she was a very accomplished dancer growing okay. up, performed in front of a lot of people around mm-hmm. the country. You're a performer. Now, yeah. you performed before basketball crowds, but you want to be an actor.
Yes, sir.
You've been in plays. You've yeah. sung before people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it's like when that curtain opens and,
right.
and you got to deliver.
Yeah.
So tell us about that aspect of your life, even
yeah.
beyond basketball.
A lot of people don't know it, but it's different. But I enjoy it, though, because it's something other than basketball. Like I said, the basketball stops, but it's a different feeling. It's a different type of performance. You know, basketball, you know, you train for it your whole life. So I think like, I'm well prepared for when I say I'll go into basketball games. But that stuff, I'll like a little bit more nervous when I do things like that. But, you know, I prepare for that too. Like with my instrument, I used to practice, even singing, choir practice. And then acting, it's just a flow for me. Just being in front of the camera is just the flow and just your personality. I think my personality helps me with a lot of those things. Like I said before, you can't care what a lot of people think. So some people are nervous to get in front of cameras and do things outside of their comfort zone. But I think one thing about me and my confidence, like I really don't care if you think I'm not doing a good job or like how you felt about my performance. As long as I know what I did and I feel good about myself, then that's all that matters.
Well, I'm hopeful that one day we can have a little song and dance duo
yeah.
here between Jaden
sure,
and Kaylee.
For sure.
I think
for
the crowd would enjoy that.
Course,
I know I would.
Of course.
So one final thing, Jaden, about next year. You know, I know you have great goals, the
yeah.
team does, to go to the NCAA and mm-hmm. you to continue to improve as a player.
Right.
What's your mindset going into this summer, how hard you're going to work, and
yeah.
then what kind of player we're going to see on the court next year?
Yeah, this summer is going to be big. You know, I was kind of mad that we didn't make the tournament. Just watching it the past couple of weeks, it just lights that fire into you. Like, we can't miss it next year. We have to get there. So, but it doesn't start next season. It starts now. Like, as soon as I came back from vacation, I was in the gym, two weight room workouts yesterday. So, I'm focusing for next year, my strength, obviously. Being smaller, I got to get stronger. And then just me, leadership for me, you know. Some of the seniors are going to be gone. Jose's going to be gone next year. So just stepping into, even though I'm still going to be kind of young as a sophomore, one of the more younger guys on the team, just being more of a leader, more vocal, and just establishing myself more. You feel me? On the court, same type of player. I'm going to bring energy. But everything is just going to be better. You know what I'm saying? I'm work on my skills, obviously, ball handling, shooting, defense. But overall, just the aura I have, the energy that I bring, I just want to have more of it. Impact on the court, you know what I'm saying? Around the community as well, because it's bigger than basketball. But yeah, next season, for sure, we're going to get there to the tournament.
Well, we have enjoyed watching you play. We can't wait to see what's in store, and we hope that when you make it big as an actor, that you'll remember us.
Of course.
And we can come to some of your tapings and your shows.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, Jaden Reed, point guard of the USF Bulls.
Derek Sharp with Nate Metellus of the track and field team. My man right here, transfer from Bethune-Cookman, who is a beach guy. I guess you like both sides of the state. Grew up in Deerfield Beach, right? Went to school at Daytona Beach. Do you like the beach or is it just happened to be where you've grown up?
It happened to be, both actually.
Yeah.
Like, the beach side is always good, you know. I can, you know, relax at the beach and, you know, just chill.
I've never been to Deerfield Beach. Picture it for me.
Oh, the scenery is nice. Like, if you're looking at Deerfield, it's like it's a good area. It's nice with all the restaurants too.
Yeah.
Near the beach, and I mean, you'll have a good time when you're there, for sure.
We'll have to go.
Yeah.
We'll get to track here in a second, and the men and the women are hosting the South Florida Invitational this weekend. My man's gonna be running Friday with his relay guys and by himself, but never by himself. But now I gotta ask you restaurants. I'm a food guy. Are you a seafood guy? It sounds like you have to be.
I'm a seafood guy, yeah, for sure.
Take what? Like, give me a top three.
I like crab legs and shrimp.
Oh, that's too much work, though. Crab legs, is it too much work?
Not to be.
Worth it.
Crab legs, fried shrimp. I like fried shrimp as well.
Kind of have to go that way. Do you like coconut shrimp?
Oh, yeah.
I went to town on some the other day.
It's good.
Like, you can't. Let's get into the nutrition part, because I guess you can't eat a lot of coconut shrimp and fried shrimp during the season. What's it like, the discipline that it takes to be in track shape?
To be in track shape, I mean, I always like to be healthy, you know. Like, my body needs a lot of nutrients that can, like, you know, fill me up. But, like, I'm not always eating, like, junk food, because I know if I eat junk food, like, I'll mess myself up. But, like, at the same time, I'm disciplined enough to eat healthy always.
So you have the self-discipline. Do your coaches ever have to remind you, or it sounds like you've got it under control?
Nah, I already know. I already know what to do.
All right, so when the season ends, and we're not there yet, do you gain a few pounds at least?
Yeah, I gain pounds. Yeah, I gain pounds, and then like when I run, like for some reason, like it'll drop for some reason when I run, because I'm losing a lot of calories when I'm running.
But yeah, well, yeah, that makes sense. And this guy doesn't do the sprints; he does the. Has it always been this way, more of the middle distance?
Both like sprints. I've been doing sprints too, but I'm on like on the middle distance size. Like the 400 is my peanut butter and jelly.
And back to the food references, but that's a good thing. So, yeah, you were the indoor track and field champ. Of course, we're outdoor here on a windy day. So let's get into the differences between the indoor and the outdoor, other than the obvious weather conditions. It's usually a shorter track, right? How does that affect things? Does it very much?
Okay, indoor track is, like, very, like, kind of, like, I don't know, like, difficult, because, like, the curves is very tight and stuff. Even though it's a 50-meter track all around, it's still like, you know, very hard. And then the humidity that's in the area is like very hard to breathe into. But I mean, it's an honor to be a 400 meter indoor champ either way. But after the hard work and dedication I put into the track, like, you know, like I'm not more of a indoor person,
sure.
But me as a person, I'm always like, always wanting to win, you feel me? Like,
well, that's amazing that you're not an indoor person, but you're the champ. And it's interesting also that you bring up the humidity, because you wouldn't think about that, but you got a bunch of people sweating in a small area. Now, he's part of the 4x, speaking of teams, 4x4 relay. Set the school record after, in prelims, they set it, and then they set it by 3 seconds. That's amazing. Secondly, I always carry a baton in my pocket, thank goodness. So tell me the secret to a good baton pass, because that's a big part of it, right?
All right, Coach Jenkins taught me this.
All right.
Okay, when
Coach
you get
Jenkins
the baton,
getting some love here.
When you get the baton, go catch. Okay, when you pass the baton, it's like every time you like close to the person, punch it in their hand and then go.
Flowing process, or is it just quick?
It's just quick.
Like, all right. Oh, I would be dropping it left and right. I'm glad you got. I'm glad you guys are much better than me.
Coach Jenkins, go catch.
Go catch. If people want to come out and watch you guys, you're going to be running on Friday. Mm-hmm. Do you have a relay team full of dog mentality? What can they look forward to? What kind of team? Not just the 4x4, but the whole Bulls team. How would you describe your group?
Everybody is a dog. You got dogs everywhere.
You guys want to come out and watch the dogs this weekend?
Yes.
Nate, it was a pleasure. Thanks. And you're about a month away from a boatload of coconut shrimp, my friend. All right, passing the baton. Actually, this guy does everything but run. He does all the jumping. Well, you do some running there too. Goodness.
A little bit.
Goodness, Radio has been doing a lot in his first year, and I'm going to make you blush just a little bit. We had Eric Jenkins on this show before the season started, and I, you know, he's not going to run down a bunch of names and give people that are new any sort of big head, but he mentioned your name as a big addition to the team.
Yeah.
So I ask you, how bad did he recruit you here? I mean, I'm sure he wanted you.
I mean, yeah, he called me and talked to me about the program, that this is a building program. I'd like to see what the team is doing and how good the team is. And he was like, they have new people coming in. And when I checked the school page, I saw like a bunch of people getting recruited. So I was like, oh, I'd like to be part of this program. Hmm. And also he called my coach in my other school, like checking up on me on how my behavior is, how good I am.
Seems like your behavior is pretty good. By the way, as the wind picks up here, we're in the outdoor track and field season, but it's going to be perfect weather this weekend, and you can see Goodness and his teammates Friday and Saturday at the South Florida Invitational.
Yep.
Now, your first school was Cumberland, Tennessee.
Yep.
And how did you find that place as you were moving from Nigeria, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it was cold, actually. Very, very cold. So thankful it didn't snow when I was there. I was able to like endure,
that sometimes we don't practice a track because my school, we don't have a track. So we have to like practice inside our office.
Wait a sec, I'm sorry. Your school where didn't have a track?
In Tennessee, Lebanon.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so we didn't have a track back then. We practiced in our high school. So when it gets extremely cold, we don't go outside to practice. We just practice inside our, like the coaching office.
Whoa, we're gonna get back to the South Florida stuff here in a second. I'm trying to picture doing the high jump in a coach's office. You didn't actually have a bar in there, did you?
I mean, we did because we kept it in there, but it's just like a basic circuit in the office. And we're not that much. We're like probably like 20-some.
Hey, got you ready for the indoor
season.
No wonder you were so good and set the school record right out the gate.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you're not going out there thinking, okay, I got to do a school record. What are you looking at? I'm sure improving every single timeout.
Basically, just go for track meets and just be like, I just want to do like better than I did the last time. But though I have like high expectation, but if I don't meet it, at least I broke my previous PB, my previous competition. And I just try to like put God first in everything I do, keep my head straight, talk to my, whenever I feel like down, I call my mom or call my brother or call my friend back home.
Nice.
And just like try to like settle myself down.
Well, what was the transition like? You know, we take it for granted. We have so many international students here. I do women's basketball, and they're all international. And you almost forget that these are journeys that people go on. Getting used to life in the United States, was it difficult? Did you call home a lot?
I mean, I literally left home when I was like 15, because I finished high school on time. So I was the kind of person that like I've always wanted to like get out of my parents' house. I've always wanted to go home. So when I came here, it was like kind of good.
You're ready
in
for
a
it.
Way. I was ready for it. And I've been home for like, out of home for like 2 years when I was back home. So I got used to it so quickly. People come here and be like, oh, I miss home. I miss my family. I do miss my family though, but like, I don't plan on going back anytime soon.
Hmm. Well, we're glad that you found a new family here. I'm
guessing. Oh, yeah, I do.
We got to ask about the name. Because his first name is Goodness.
Yeah.
Would you have a bunch of cool names? How many brothers and sisters did you have? I'm sure your name was the coolest.
My name is the coolest. Because my name is Goodness, but my mom calls me Goody.
I like that.
My brother's name is Gift. My sister's name is Merit. There's Treasure. There's Preville.
I'm sorry. That's some pretty good competition for coolest name.
Yeah, so I have five siblings. Well, six in our house. Three boys, three girls. I'm the last boy, and I have like three other sisters.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, he, for a minute, had the top triple jump in the country. Now you're fifth. We should point out that the leader in the nation's name is Excellentness, and then there's Greatness after him, and then there's Superiorness. No, just kidding. But you realize that fifth is still okay, right?
Yeah, it is.
Experiences you've had just so far here. Cumberland, I'm guessing, maybe smaller meets, but you guys are going all over the country. Oh, how do you like that?
I mean, I like traveling a lot. I mean, this track and field has like exposed me to like moving out of the country, because if I hadn't like started track and field, probably I would still be back in my country right now doing nothing. So this track and field has like exposed me to like travel to different kind of states. I didn't even picture myself coming to Florida in the first place, but I'm here, and the experience has been great.
You like it here?
I love it here. It's like the weather's like Nigeria. That's why I chose
Florida.
Is that
right? Yeah. Is that right? Okay. How about the food here?
Not
as good.
I cook my own food. The food is—it's not good. It's not good.
You hear that, folks? It's not good. Okay, tell me what good food is, Goodness. Since you would know, you're Goody and all that.
Everyone's gonna know. There's jollof rice, the best Nigerian.
What kind of rice?
Jollof rice.
Okay. I need to hear about this.
Yeah, you need to try some. The best jollof. It's better than Ghanaian because we have a competition with Ghanaians, which is Rashid. They know about Rashid. White rice and stew. We have eba. We have. Egusi soup, a lot of delicious food.
Well, you're making me hungry. You're making me realize that you might be right, except for the part that the food is not good here, but we'll talk about that later.
No problem.
Thank you, Goody, very much.
Very much. All right.
Well, that was pretty fun. Track and field. We'll actually be at home this weekend, so a chance to come out and see them. You heard Amir Abdulrahim mention Melanie Green. She is hopefully going to be playing in the finals of an event, the National Women's Amateur in Augusta, and then the women's golf team is expected to go far in the NCAA tournament as we're talking about all this postseason stuff. We've also got baseball and softball going on. Next week will be our first softball show on Bullseye with head coach Ken Erickson and more great guests to come. So as we wrap it up with the men's basketball thing, and of course, we didn't make him recreate it. It's like telling a comedian, hey, tell your favorite joke, just lay it out. So his
most famous moment, we all know it.
Hey, just so you know, he gon' crimp with this tempo. This ain't the same old South Florida, my brother.
The backdrop of that, by the way, was somebody needing more electrolytes.
So you better get them electrolytes ready.
I'm gonna ask everybody, and I'm gonna go last because I can't think of it right now. What was your moment when you realized this wasn't the same old South Florida? My brother.
My brother. I will go back to, you know, privileged to be part of the whole season, the ups and downs, all the trips, and some things you forget, but some things stick in your mind, and this is mine. The Bulls are 2-4. They are the same old South Florida, my brother, at that point, in a lot of people's minds. And we are in Sunrise playing Florida State, looking at 2-5 squarely in the face. Chris Youngblood is 3-22 with 11 straight misses. The team is shooting 24% from three-point range at that point. Jim Lighthall and I are in the lobby interviewing Amir Abdul-Rahim, as we do every game. And we ask our questions, we're done, and he said, and not to pat ourselves on the back, he goes, hey, man, I just appreciate you guys asking the questions. You're prepared. You're, you know, I like interacting with you guys. And, you know, we're still getting to know the coach at that point. So we're just chatting. And I said, you know, coach, CY is struggling, and the whole team is really struggling from three. What do you think? And he just, it wasn't adversarial. It wasn't, I'll show you. He just said, the shots will fall.
Did you believe him?
I did in a few hours when we went out and blitzed Florida State and the shots fell.
Off to Youngblood. Catch and shoot three, right side. Good! Chris Youngblood from the near corner. That's his first triple of the game. And boy, is he seeing a big basket in the early going.
He certainly is. Great to see Chris Youngblood building his confidence back.
Miguel wide open, sets his feet, fires for three. It's good! And the Bulls with yet another triple, their 10th of the game. They're blowing Florida State out.
Jim, something I did not come here expecting to see. The Bulls leading Florida State by 26 points, and the shots kept falling. And I looked this up. At that point, USF was shooting 24% from three. From the Florida State on, we shot 42% from three the rest of the season, which is incredible. And from that point on, it wasn't the same old South Florida, my brother.
What was your moment, Kaylee?
You know, one of the biggest things that stands out in my mind was that Charlotte game, that first sellout. I had never experienced anything like that, and that's when I kind of took a minute.
9 o'clock
to take
on a
it
Tuesday.
All in. 9 o'clock on a Tuesday.
That's your bedtime.
To take it all in and be like, this is different. This I have never seen. This I have never felt. The support, the everything, and also, for me personally, going on that one trip to North Texas was very special for me. I loved that, and that was another time where it kind of clicked, where I saw the guys together, really, and could see the culture change, the brotherhood, the laughs, the smiles that these guys all had together. And, you know, we talk about Corey and how he's been smiling all season, and the hug that he gave me after that last home game. You could really tell how much this season meant to him. So to see that brotherhood and, you know, that make a difference in the guys' lives as well.
That's a great
one. Those are two special moments for me.
Well, it kind of, I'll tie them in both, because you mentioned Charlotte. That was as I was out there on the court after the game was over, and it was after midnight. And I'm thinking, this was the only time I've been in the Yuengling Center after midnight, because our games are usually over at 9 o'clock. But that team had me so inspired to be there. But also, you bring up North Texas, and that's what I was going to bring up, because they had these big comeback wins at home and then, of course, at Memphis. And they followed that up by solidifying it with a couple of home wins. But then I'm thinking, okay, they're going to go to North Texas. This is where you slip up. This is just natural. This is a very difficult team, one that's been knocking on the door of the NCAA tournament. And it was a slog of a game. It wasn't a pretty three-point shooting game.
The Bulls in a dogfight in the Lone Star State.
And they won it. And that is not a game that the old South Florida would have won.
This team does it again. Man, 7 consecutive wins.
What a show under adversity.
We're not done with the actual show. Well, this show we are done with. We want to thank all of our guests. Next week we'll concentrate on softball, and we got some more baseball with Billy Moll and Ken Erickson throughout the course of the rest of the spring. Hey, keep those horns up for Kaylee and Joey. I'm Derek Sharp. Thanks for checking us out.